Good evening, everyone. Good to see you here tonight on our midweek service night. Go ahead and stand with me if you would as we sing our first song tonight. Sunshine in my heart, there rings a melody. I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody. 'Tis a melody of love. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody of love. I love the Christ who died on Calvary, for he washed my sins away. He put within my heart a melody, and I know it's there to stay. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody of love. 'Twill be my endless theme in glory. With the angels I will sing. 'Twill be a glorious, glorious harmony when the chords of heaven ring. In my heart there rings a melody. Sunshine in my soul today. Lift it up with me tonight as we sing. There is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than glows in the earthly skies. For Jesus is my light. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the beams happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in the soul. There is music in my soul today, a carol to the King. And Jesus listening can hear the songs I cannot sing. Sunshine in the soul. There is springtime in my soul today. For when the Lord is near, the dove of peace sings in my heart. The flowers of grace appear. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful happy moments roll. Sunshine in thy soul. Great job of singing tonight. You may be seated. Brother Dave Barbie, would you open us in prayer tonight? Thanks, Brother Dave.
God, as we learn from the Word, as we learn about ministries that you call us to here around the world, that you will just be with us in the ways that they impact us and prepare us to serve you and to do this to you. God bless all the faithful tonight as we move forward in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right, Brother Dave, some missionary letters. All right, I got a two-fold question tonight because we won't be having missionary letters next week with our revival. So you get a choice of almond, milk chocolate, or crisp. And the question is, there was a missionary in a letter that he said that he could be fined and put into prison for up to 8 years for somebody getting sick in his church for COVID. Who was the missionary and what country are they in? Start with who is the missionary. Huh? Hogan? Nope. Wrong missionary. That was the other missionary from last week. Anybody else? The missionary's name and then or what country were they from? Give you a hint. The country is close to Russia. Ukraine is the country. And who was the missionary? Brother Brian? Huh? The Thomases, yes. So do you want... Brother Barbie, do you want almond, milk chocolate, or crisp? Okay. Crisp or milk chocolate?
Milk chocolate.
Okay, I'll bring them to you after the thing. Today's missionaries for this week, hopefully I can pronounce these names correctly because I picked some really tough ones. I think it's the Gongelia family, missionaries to Romania. They would like to let us know that they had a ladies' fellowship of 70 women showing up, and it sounds like the majority of the ladies were not saved. Because it says, please pray that the gospel that they heard was planted in their hearts to bring fruit of salvation. And then they also asked to have the opportunity to, he wrote a book called The Serenity Behind the Clouds, which is a biography of his life in the Romanian language. But he's getting the opportunity to actually present that and preach the gospel in one of their like conference halls. And he just prays that we'd be keeping prayer for them as they go to do that. That they'll hear the gospel and maybe see some people saved from that. And then he also is saying that they're looking to do something different. Their utilities are going skyrocketed, and they're looking to do solar panels for the church and asking, we pray for them that they would raise about $9,000 for solar panels to be able to take care of their electricity on their church. So do remember the Gonzalea family to Romania. And then we have the Kinoshita family to Tokyo, Japan. And if I missed up any one of those names and you all know how to say it better, please tell me so I won't mess it up next time. But they are missionaries to Japan. It says they started a teen Sunday school class in September, and they've had a blessing of their children, Christopher and Sarah, of inviting unsaved friends who have been coming and listening to the messages and stuff. So do pray for their unsaved friends. And then said they celebrated their anniversary, the church's anniversary of City Baptist Church. And there were 80 people who gathered there for that occasion, and there was two special people. One was Ruth's unsaved cousin and Nathan's aunt, who hasn't been to church in 30 years. They came for their anniversary Sunday, so he says be in prayer for them. And then this is kind of a neat little thing. I don't know that we'd do this here in Ponca City, but they did an evangelistic volleyball, beach volleyball reach-out tournament. So they did a beach volleyball tournament that the church represented and said they had a great turnout, and the community was very curious about who they were and was encouraged to see the opportunity to have evangelistic time to be able to talk to people about the Lord. And then last there, it says that they have a kids' church. They're praying that they can find a building they can have a church and kids' church, because right now they have to have it in two separate buildings, and the kids have to walk about 5 minutes away to go to their class. And then, of course, the adults are in there where they have services and stuff for big church. So do be in prayer that they can find a way to give over. And that's the Kinoshita family to Japan. Thank you, Brother Dave. Good evening, everyone. Good to have you all out tonight. Glad to be under one roof, if you didn't notice. I don't know what you were looking at when you came in, but they're making really good progress. They're almost just about done. So we're glad to see progress there. For sure. Soon, I think next week from Sunday is a 1 year mark, so hopefully they can get her done before then. A couple of things to add to your list if you want to pull those out. Pastor shared that Miss Lori Brott got a good report with her cancer here this week, and so we praise the Lord for that.
Not sure if she's home right now or not, but just we thank the Lord for what he's doing there. Just keep praying for the Brats. I know they'd appreciate that. And then we've got a few to add to the list on the request side. Of course, there's a group of teens that are out right now down at College Days, down at Heartland. And so for the Miss Anna and a good group went down just to spend a couple of days just to explore God's will, if God might be leading that way. So just pray for tender soil and that the teens can come back with some better direction as to what God might be doing. Also, if you could be in prayer next week, we have testing for CBA here. And so just something we do once a year, and all the grades participate, kindergarten and up. And so I'd appreciate your prayers for that. Of course, we want to be praying for our revival. Comes up this coming Sunday and through next week. And Brother Young and his son Jake are going to be here ministering to us. And we've got some missionaries that will be through throughout the week here. And so just prayers that God will do a good work through that week in our lives, so that we can minister even more effectively for him. And then ongoing prayers for Brother Ike Palmer. He had a pretty serious surgery yesterday and is in recovery. I believe it went okay, but it's going to be pretty life-altering for him, a new member here at our church down in Oklahoma City right now. The Skyler's got to go visit, but keep Brother Ike in your prayers if you could. And then Brother Marty Vineyard, he's at home recovering as well from a procedure last week. It went well, but has a little ways to go before he's able to get back amongst us. And so he would appreciate that. And those are the ones I've got turned in. And so we'll drop down to the floor and take any praises or prayer requests that you might have. Either far left or left central. We've got Miss Debbie up at the front, Tyler.
Well, I have a couple of praises. The prayer requests I had last week for my nephew, yeah. James Warren. He had to go back into the hospital after he got out in St. Louis when he got back to Houston. And yesterday they did an endoscope and were able to find a couple of tears in his stomach. And so they got that clipped. And so he's good and out of the hospital today. So we're praising the Lord for that. Amen. And then James Moeller went home last Friday.
Good deal. Okay. Anybody else? Brother Cody?
I think they added us to the list, but we are going to try to have one this year.
Okay.
So we couldn't bring one.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's good.
And we're thinking it's going to be a girl.
Oh, man.
Based on the first test.
All right.
And some say that's a praise and some say that's a prayer request.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Just keep us in your prayers.
Awesome. Congratulations. That's neat. That's neat. Yeah, we've got several if you haven't seen on the back side there. Looks like about five ladies there expecting. So pretty neat stuff. Pretty neat. All right. Anybody else? Miss Dina?
Yes, sir. I've got a lupus set that I have to go to on the 26th of this month, and hopefully Dad Nim is doing a lot better. He's been having problems with his hands and legs and feet, things that couple, but almost not quite a month ago, he had a all set and he fell and kind of scraped up his knee and things, but in his foot, things, but other than that, he's doing a lot better.
Sure.
But still, needs that help with things.
Okay. All right. Let's keep praying for Miss Dina and Dad.
Please and thank you.
Sure thing. We got Miss Coffee there.
We have an unspoken.
Okay. So if you'll add that, Coffee's. I do as well. If you can put me down on your unspokens, I'd appreciate that. Anybody else this side? Miss?
Our neighbor passed away unexpectedly Sunday. So would you remember the Andy Sloan family?
Slumley?
Sloan.
Slum, okay. Okay, we'll add them to our prayer list. Okay. Anybody else here? All right, we'll move over to this side. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Brother Marty is at Skilled and Pawnee. All right, Miss Francis.
Yes, I go tomorrow for my 6-week post-op checkup in Oklahoma City, and so I just pray that everything's going great, and maybe he'll allow me to drive now.
Okay. Looks like you're taking up the other end of the Monroes. Bring one. You got a whole pew there with you. And so good to have you all here with us, Miss Stacy and family. All right. Anybody else this section here? We got Brother Dave, Brother Brian.
Just a reminder, Jane Fleming's memorial service is this Saturday here at the church at 1 o'clock. Just ask you to pray for Jane's family as they're traveling, and James has family coming as well, and pray for James. He's been a little anxious this week, anticipating the memorial service.
Sure. Okay. Can do that. Okay, Brother Brian.
Dustin Crawford, our son-in-law, he left this afternoon to head to Missouri to be with his dad. His dad's health is declining really bad, and his stepmom has dementia, or Alzheimer's, I guess, and he hadn't been letting anybody know anything. His daughter went down there to check on him, and it was a really bad situation. He just wouldn't call anybody or anything, but he said last time I seen him, he was probably 220 pounds, and his sister told him to be prepared when he got there because he was like 150 pounds. Wow. So just pray for the Crawford family.
Okay. They're in Missouri? Okay.
Larry Crawford.
Larry. We'll do that. Okay. Miss Marla?
Don Bohan, you know, was a member of our church. His brother is in the hospice now, and they don't give him but just a couple of days. So if you'd please pray for the family.
What's his last name?
Bohan.
Bohan. Okay, we can do that. Anybody else this far side? Anybody we missed? Believe so. Okay. One announcement before we pray. First off, thanks for those that came out last week with help on the mulch. I think it was the fastest we've ever done it, and I really like how it turned out. But if you donated a shovel or a rake, they are right over here by the office entrance, just by the glass doors. You'll see several donated tools there. If you want to grab those on your way out, thank you for letting us use that. It definitely helped us. And with that, we will go ahead and lift these up to prayer. So God, we do thank you for this day. Thank you for the chance to be on spring break. I know for those of us involved in the school, Lord, just a busy year. And of course, many of our school teachers and volunteers, Lord, are involved in Awanas. And so just the season of rest that we're on right now has definitely been rejuvenating and encouraging. Lord, thank you for the weather being what it's been. And just pray for these final couple days. Just keep everybody safe as they're still traveling, and bring them back in ready to go next week. Thank you, Lord, for the good work that's being done up on the roof. Lord, just almost a year in now, and so close to the finish line. Lord, we're excited to see the base of the steeple in place and look forward to the remainder being put up soon and the final pieces of the roof being installed. Just please keep all those involved safe and help them, Lord, as they ponder what this is all about that's taking place beneath their feet, that, Lord, that maybe, just maybe, an opportunity to see one get saved might come about. Pray that, Lord, you'd help us to do everything that we can to try to share what we believe, Lord, if it's worth going through the effort, Lord, of investing to get this property back to what it was. Lord, it's worth taking a few moments of time, Lord, just to share, Lord, the most important piece of information that they could ever know. And God, just pray that you give us those opportunities, Lord. And as we look ahead at Easter, just being a week out, Lord, and just an opportunity, as pastors reminded us, just an opportunity to invite people that maybe in other times of the year aren't quite so open to hearing about you. Lord, they're a little more spiritually inclined, and open and receptive. And so, Lord, just pray that you would use us to fill up this house. Lord, I pray that the gospel would go forth strong from Brother Young and from his son, and that, God, we would see souls saved and see those that are saved begin to grow and continue growing, Lord, and to be sharpened and encouraged and inspired. Lord, I just pray for a good work to take place. Lord, we thank you for the good updates given tonight from Miss Lori Brott, the good news there. Just pray that things would continue to go well for her, for the James Mueller family. Lord, glad that he's home now, and Brother James Warren was able to get those issues taken care of on his end, and now he's home. Just pray that you would bless their recoveries. Lord, pray for Brother Marty as he is still being cared for. God, pray that that would go well. And for Brother Ike Palmer as he's in recovery mode, thank you for the procedure going well. Just pray that that would, his recovery would go as good as it can be. Lord, for Miss Joella Francis, Lord, grateful for her family being in tonight, and just pray that you would help the post-op procedure tomorrow to go well, that they'd get good information, that she could get back to driving and normal living. God, pray for the Don Bohan family as his brother's on hospice. Just pray for comfort there. Pray for the Larry Crawford family as he's dealing with his own issues, and his wife also with dementia. Lord, just pray that you give Dustin and Megan and Dustin's sister wisdom as they try to minister to their parents. God, pray for the Flemings, Lord. Just sad to see Miss Jane gone, but thankful she's with you. And Lord, I know Brother James is discouraged over it, but Lord, may he look forward to joy with joy to the opportunity to see her once again and to get to see his family this weekend. Just pray that you'd bring everybody in safely and that the memorial brings honor to you. God, for the Andy Slum family and just having passed away and just a grieving time, I pray for the Loney family as they try to minister to their neighbors, help them to take an opportunity to share the gospel, and Lord, that something good could come from that loss. Father, pray for the group that's down at Heartland this week, that they are trying to seek your face about what your plans for their future might involve. Just pray that you'd give guidance there. Bless the preacher tonight as he's preaching and the teens as they respond. Lord, we're thankful for our pastor, thankful for him being home, and just pray that you'd use him as he leads this ministry. Give him strength, give him wisdom, give him good health, we pray. And just pray that you'd bless the message tonight in Christ's name. Amen.
Would go ahead and stand one more time tonight. The solid rock, my hope is built on nothing less. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Appreciate that, and thank you, Brother Dave, Brother Allen, and for your help as well. And just hate to correct Brother Allen, but he was just wrong a little bit, and so I want to just clarify that. The steeple is up. We went with a low-profile one so as not to get the win. So I forgot to tell you that, Allen, before you got it up there. I apologize, bud. And Obviously, the other two pieces are over here, so we want to kind of stay away from those. Hopefully, the next couple of days, they'll get those up and finish that process. That's what they were saying today. But, yeah, a lot of activity today if you're on the property and all over the place, things going on, which is exciting as we prepare for next week and looking forward to that without a doubt. Now, I want to challenge you, seriously. Easter is a wonderful time to invite someone, I'm telling you. And next week begin even that process of inviting your neighbors, friends, waitresses, waiters, people you see, give them a track, say, hey, come on out to our Easter service. You'll just be surprised. You can be very surprised how often God will be working on somebody, and we know about the Easter story, and then they're like, oh, okay. And then next thing you know, they show up, you know, and they're there. And, of course, that won't happen if we don't ask, of course. And so I really challenge you to do that. What a blessing it'll be. And we're looking forward to that and praying that God would have souls saved. That's always the goal. And so be very evangelistic on Easter. We start with the revival, Passover Sunday, to get our hearts right. And you're more than welcome to invite people there as well. But we're really gauging up for Easter, of course, and looking forward to that. And without a doubt, if you're going to get baptized, it's always a great Sunday as well. And so you've been saved, talk about that, and get with Brother Lynn or myself, and we can talk to you about that and make sure you're ready for that. That's an easy one to remember when your baptism was, you know, on Easter Sunday. So that's good, good stuff as well. So, well, and I guess last year we were in Iowa, back this year for a couples retreat, Marion Avenue Baptist Church, great church there in Iowa. And from that, we got to hear about a missionary out of their church, and Andrew and Summer Chafa, hopefully I'm saying that right, we're close. If not, they'll correct me in just a minute, and are there. They're a ministry help, and so most of our missionaries, of course, are church planting missionaries. But along that line, our missionaries need assistance, need help. And God's given them a very unique ministry. Matter of fact, I saw it, got to see their home church and just their passion for souls there. They have probably the largest bus ministry I've ever seen. You know, I've heard of different ones, you know, whether it be Hiles or a different place. But as far as seeing this one, they have a massive bus route. They spend about $7,000 a month on gas. Just to bus all these kids in, 2-3 hours away, bring them all in, just completed a building as well, just to house that and train them. And so what a neat thing. And in the middle of nowhere, that's the other thing. What's the town again? Washington, yeah. I mean, we're driving there. Of course, I haven't used GPS. I'm like, where are we going? You know, and you show up and you look at this church, and here out in the middle of nowhere, God's just been doing work there for about 40, 50 years. I mean, it's been amazing what God has done there. And so it's been inspiring, exciting. This is where they're from. And as we're going to show their video, I've asked them to come up and just explain a little bit about this very unique, interesting ministry that God is using once again to see souls saved. So, gentlemen, if you have the video ready, we'll show that. And Brother Andrew, as soon as that's done, you come on.
Hi, I'm Andrew Chafa. I want to share with you an opportunity that God has given my family and I. In 2019, I had the unique privilege to go on a missions trip. It was one that I went and met with Gene Sharp and Independent Baptist Media. And before I ever hit the ground in the Philippines, I received a phone call from Brother Gene in Korea, and he asked me, he said, do you know how to weld? That started something that's been going on for 4 years now, and I'm extremely excited about and want to share with you. God showed me that he can use things from my upbringing to be part of reaching millions with the gospel.
Hi, I'm Gene with Independent Baptist Media, and I'm so glad to see that the Chafas are taking the next step, going into ministry full time. If I had to sum up our experience with the Chafas, I would say the three words: availability, capability, and humility. Availability in that they have made themselves available using their own time and talents and resources, but not only available, but they've been capable. You know, a lot of people talk about taking a missions trip and they're not really sure what they do. They don't know where they fit in. The Chafas have used their God-given abilities to do the work of the Lord around the world. And what a blessing they've been, whether it's organizing, climbing a tower, or welding. They've been very, very helpful and instrumental in getting much accomplished for the Savior. But you know, availability and capability could become a man-centered thing fairly quickly. But I'm so glad to report I've observed on trip after trip a great humility among the Chafas. They give their Creator the honor and the glory for all that He has done and allowed them to do for Him. It's been our privilege and our honor to serve with the Chafa family.
I'm here today because of radio. I heard a man Simply ask the question, if you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? It was not a door knocker. It was not at a church. It was on radio. And then he followed it up with, how do you know? I am here today because of radio. I was saved because of radio. And there's millions across the world that God is using to reach with radio, with media, with streaming, technological tools that God is using to reach people with the gospel. My wife and I were able to go recently on a 2-month trip to the Philippines. We had an amazing time. We installed 3 stations, and my wife was able to be a big help and play a big part in that. I share this with you today because we've been doing this on a part-time basis, limited. We've been self-funding it, and God wants us to do this on a more full-time basis. I met with our pastor. He 100% is on board and even encouraging us to go forward into this full-time.
We could not be more thrilled to support Andy and Summer Chafa in this incredible mission work that God is going to use them to do all over the world. My name is Pastor Joseph Brown, and I've had the privilege of working with Andy and Summer Chafa for more than 15 years. We worked together here when I was an assistant pastor for my dad, Pastor Larry Brown, and we got to work behind the scenes together. The Chafas are incredibly charactered and hardworking people. We've worked together on projects that I thought just could not be done, and Andy figured out a way to get it done. Mrs. Summer Chafa served as our church secretary here for many, many years, and she was second to none. Never dropping a ball, always getting the job done, and that goes without any exaggeration. Now as a senior pastor here for 12 years, to work alongside of them in areas like the church financial secretary in charge of all the church finances, there's never been a moment of impropriety. There's never been a moment of laziness. And to be honest with you, I'm a little sad to see that they're going to be gone more. But yet, we're excited, and we know that God is going to use them. We're behind them. Our church is excited about this. And we want you to be excited about it. But more than excited, we want you to pray. We want you to vision with us. And we want you to support them. This is a couple, this is a family, and this is a work that comes by very rarely. And this is that moment. I believe in the time that we have, post-COVID, the media world, the millennial generation and younger, this is it. This is our moment. We better embrace it. We better support people like this, and the Chafas are a worthy investment. I'm looking forward to you getting on board with us and supporting Andy and Summer Chafa.
The footprint of a local church is compounded greatly whenever you think of these tools that can get to places where people can't, whether it's inside their home, in their car, whether it's as they're staring at their smartphone. And God is wanting to reach people. He's wanting to save them, and he's using technology to reach people with the gospel. Would you consider partnering with us to reach millions with the gospel? God has opened my eyes to the impact the media can have. As I said in my personal testimony, God used radio to reach me. We would be thrilled to be your representatives on the airways of the world.
Well, good evening, everybody. We are very thankful to be here. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Central Baptist, for allowing us to come in, for hosting us, for taking care of us. We are thankful. Every place we go, I just overwhelmed with thankfulness of what God is doing. I'm also excited about what God is doing. As I said, we are the Chafa family. My name's Andrew. This is my wife, Summer, over here. We do have 4 children. They are grown, and we have 3 grandchildren. So, yes, I'm a grandparent. I don't feel like it. I always said I'm too young to be a grandparent until I was on a flight somewhere, and I started showing complete strangers pictures of my grandchildren on my phone, and I said, I'm a grandparent. So, anyway, we love it. If any of y'all have any farming background, that I say my wife and I were like two hogs in a mud hole. If you know what I mean by that, I grew up on a farm. A lot of the way I think and my illustrations of that are from farming, but you get a couple big old hogs, they waller into a mud hole and they just sit there and grunt back and forth. And I always say my wife and I don't grunt back and forth, but we're very excited about what God is doing. We couldn't be happier. Love life, love being able to meet everybody, and especially the ministry we're doing. Radio, what are we doing? What is our ministry? Our ministry is very simply, you think about Jesus in the book of Mark. He said, go ye therefore, go into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. So how do we accomplish that? God gave us different tools to accomplish that, but what he wanted us to do is he wanted everybody to hear the gospel. I'm an illustration. I always say I love being in church. I do. And that's not a show. That's not a missionary ploy, if you will. I love being in church. I spent the first 31 years of my life not being in church. I was in my mid-20s before I ever stepped footing in church. It's something we didn't do. I had good family, good parents and that, but farming was our life. That was what we did. I was probably the most biblically illiterate person you've ever met in your life. I had my best friend when I was a senior in high school, was killed, and I thought that I would see him someday. And then we say, what'd you base that off of? I just thought I would. I thought I was going to heaven. Fast forward to a day I was listening to radio. It was just a AM station that the guy came on. It played instrumental music. It was not a Christian radio station. They played a lot of piano and violin, and I just love instrumental music and that. But he came on and he said, if you died today, you know for sure you'd go to heaven, as I said in my video there. But he followed up and he said, how do you know? And I couldn't answer that. And that just tore me up. I had pulled up to a curb to talk to a gentleman. You say, did he give the rest of the gospel? I don't know. Because I pulled up and I remember that I was just like, how do I know? And I shut the vehicle off and I got out, and that just did not leave me. For the next few weeks, I just couldn't shake that. And I thought, if I don't know how to go to heaven, I'm probably not going. And that led us to a little Baptist church where we heard the gospel. I'm eternally grateful for somebody I've never met. I hope someday when I get to heaven, I'll get to meet this gentleman. He never met me. He doesn't know if his efforts made a difference. I tell people, I say, whether it's here in the United States, around the world, out in the country, wherever it is, do not assume that somebody knows anything about Jesus Christ. Like I said, it's not just a good idea that I'm regurgitating. This is something that's personal to me, that God reached me through radio, and I had never heard. You say, what if you would have heard the gospel when you was a teenager? I don't know. Would I have rejected it? I don't know. I know that I was not saved, not because I rejected it, not because I was hardened. It's because I had never heard. And I remember whenever the first time I heard the gospel, I thought, wow. One, that God loves a little country boy like me clear out in the sticks of where no one there has probably ever heard of Corning, Iowa, let alone 11 miles outside of Corning, Iowa in the country where there's nobody else around. But God did. And God used radio to reach me. So if I can just... I hope you get a little glimpse of the vision of what we have, as so many people have not heard. God has given the command to go and preach the gospel. How do we get it done? We get it done by just telling your coworker. We get it done by giving them a gospel tract. We get it done to inviting them to church, and we also get it done through radio. It's a very powerful tool that can get into areas where nobody can. A lot of times I'll put a picture up of a lady that, if you saw the way she was dressed, in a full burqa, that you'd understand what I'm saying. Some of the greatest results that we hear back from radio stations in foreign countries are people that are trapped in that religion. And I can, whatever your opinion is about it, I can tell you there's many of those people that they don't have a choice. It's what they're raised in. They know nothing else. But they hear on the radio the gospel and they get saved, and they will never see them. They won't come into the church. A lot of them, by the way, they'll kill them. But they'll call in and they'll say, hey, I just want you to know that I trust the Lord as my Savior. Hey, I want you to know that I'm listening to what you guys are broadcasting. So I encourage you to say that our vision is just simply this: to get the gospel to those that have not heard by the way of radio. Now, what does that look like? We work with missionaries. We work with nationals. They come to us. We don't go seeking them. We vet them, make sure that they're doctrinally sound, and then we help them to get licensed in that. It's up to them to do the work, to come up with the funds. That helps to show that they're interested in it. And then we start raising funds in that, and we'll go and we do everything. We've built tables. We've helped waterproof buildings. The reason being is because we have very expensive equipment, and we just don't want to throw it in anywhere, one where it's going to get stolen or it's going to get destroyed quickly. But we'll do that if need be. We get the equipment put in. We'll put up towers. We'll do whatever it needs so that when we're done, we leave and that local church there, it's not a secular thing. It's a tool that local church now has to reach the people in their area. Our reach usually is between 20 and 40 mile, and it varies depending on terrain and how much power we put behind it and that. But they can reach their area with the gospel. And we also train them how to use it. We train them how to create content, because if you don't want to listen to it, nobody else does either. So you don't go to the world, by the way, but you be creative how to build content so that people will listen. And then we also we train them, and then we also just blew my mind there. But when we're done, as I said, they have a fully functional radio station. We turn that over to them. It's now their tool, a very powerful tool to reach their area. It's built off of, I always turn to this verse. I love this verse very simply. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Middle of that verse, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Each of you guys in here have heard. What if somebody didn't tell you? What if some way you didn't know? And you're part of that crowd that there's nobody reaching. Picture that in your mind. Get a vision, if you will. Come ask us questions. I pray two things. One, that you find that my wife and I are real. I'm just a simple guy. It doesn't mean stupid. I'm just a simple guy. We want to be real. We don't want to put on a show. But the other thing is, I hope you understand the power. I always go to Joshua 2. You think of Rahab in the middle of that city. How can you get in there to someone that's big old fortified walls, a military, you got places where it's not friendly towards, how you get in there? God sent two guys that were spies, by the way, but if you'll look through that chapter, you'll see in there where Joshua, about, I think, chapter 6, he calls them messengers. Guess what? We can get in with radio in places we can't go physically. We go in places where somebody's not even looking. I wasn't looking for Christ whenever God reached me. But praise God, he was looking for me. So that's a little vision of our of what we're doing. Please pray for us. I beg God every time I say that one person in each church we'll go to will get a vision of this, and they'll pray for this ministry, that it will have an impact worldwide. Thank you very much, Pastor.
Brother Andy, appreciate that. Love his passion for it, what God's called him to do. Are we on? Did I click it right? Testing 1, 2, 3. Are we good? And because of that, just listen to them. They sold their business. So they had their own business, sold that. I was doing this, just paying for their own way for missions trips. And God got a hold of their heart and said, there's just so much that needs to be done. I asked them how many places there are. It's like they're just unlimited. People are needing this all over the world. And it's neat to see. And again, it takes a very unique talent. Not anybody could just pick up and say, hey, I'm going to go do that. But he's very skilled, and there's a lot of handyman work and so forth. So I hope you will pray for them. I think God will use them just in a great way. I really will. So, well, we're going to be in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 tonight. I appreciate you get by and say hello to them if you didn't get a chance to before the service, and let them know you're praying for them. I know they'd appreciate that. As we continue our study in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, interesting, as he said, wasn't in church until mid-20s or later before he really got in church, and God began to do a work in his life. And I tell you what, just the importance of the family of God, it's so, so important. I tell you, if you live long enough, you're probably going to run into something in this life, some sort of abandonment, some sort of problem. I think often, we live in our culture, and I think Brendan and I been married, going to be, I think it's 39 years this year, so it'll be 40 next year. You think about that. We're not planning on getting a divorce, just to let you know. Just in case there was any questions or anything. I'll check later if she's really going to leave me or not. But just prepping, because I was like, I can't imagine going through a divorce, okay? I know by odds, we're talking about 50% of the people in here have been through something like that, and it's a very difficult thing. So just thinking about that, and I say this because I can't imagine all of a sudden being separated from someone that your body, soul, and spirit. You stop and think about that. I mean, you're connected. And then literally a divorce, you're ripping that out, okay? And you're ripping part of you. So many of you understand what I'm talking about. Now, I've never been through that, so I can't say that I've been through that. I've been through similar in the aspect of losing friends or family or just being abandoned by people that you're really, really close with, and all of a sudden just like a switch is turned on and they're like, everything changes and you're like, what just happened? Those type of things. And so I look at that and I realize more and more the importance of community in the aspect of a church and what God has done and why God died for the church and why he set it up. And the reason that's important, because we're in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, a very classic passage here. We'll stand to our reading tonight. But I've titled this, Two Are Better Than One. And I'm convinced that we all need somebody. We really do. Even you introverts, you know, that say, man, I could be by myself all the time. And that might be true for some of you. But I think even God himself, the Trinity, you think about it. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And you think about even his setting up the organization of the family and then the church. And man, I'm going to tell you, if people weren't important and community and family wasn't important, God wouldn't have set it up that way. It's that simple, you know. So I think there's a great importance in Solomon, the wise man, tells us that here. We're going to take a look at it, jump down. He says in verse 7, then I returned and saw vanity under the sun. There is one alone, and there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother. Yet is there no end of all his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches. Neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This also is vanity. Yea, it is a sore travail. In other words, someone who's alone, they don't have anybody, they don't have family, they don't have kids, there's nothing there, they just work, and there's just no purpose behind it. And then Solomon answers that in verse 9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Thank you. You may be seated. Tonight I want to talk to you about that and just the benefits of community and friendship. And I think for most of us, that doesn't have to be explained that much. But I do want to break down the scriptures here because I see how essential it is. And in our society that God designed it, we'll need one another. I think one of the things along that line is the fact that we can't do everything and we are not everything. How's that? No one's perfect. Nobody's got everything down pat. So in this life, there's probably going to come a time when you'll need somebody. And so God in his wisdom lays out probably more for those who want to go it alone of why we need other people and why we need to be a part of other groups. And so I want to do that with you and break down just some of these benefits here. You begin in verse 9, and he just says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. And I want to challenge you, the benefit of family and friends and church and community like that is, I tell you what, you get more done together. Folks, that's just a fact. I mean, there's no debate about that. When you put all the research together, those that are doing things as a family and those that are doing things together and make connections, more is accomplished. I think of our church, and the fact of the matter is that the more that members get involved and buy into the vision of the gospel, way more people are saved, way more things are done when more are involved. And so you can see that there. Research is doing even more studies and going back to the family unit. And there's a growing body of evidence. I was reading an article a couple days ago that not only contradicts the conventional wisdom, journalist narratives, and academic assertions that a stable married family is of little or no importance to children, but it also indicates something quite different. Matter of fact, the research shows more than ever the fact of having a mom and a dad together in a family, not this crazy thought process that's out there today of, man, I'll just do it by myself and it's better alone. And we're not dealing with every issue, and I get that. But I'm talking about just the ideology that is there. It says we don't need dad or we don't need mom. I'm telling you, even secular research is showing that's not true. But now, we've known that for generations. I'm going to help you. I mean, that's not new to us. But sometimes when you're in a culture, you start buying into that stuff. And you start thinking, well, yeah, that is true. I know this lady over here raising her kids by herself. She seems happy and everything is going good. I'm telling you, all the studies shows there's a major difference in the children. It's a major difference in their jobs, their work ethic, their emotional stability. It lists all these things that change when you don't have a family unit. Why? God designed a family unit. Two are better than one. And so the input there is, hey, you get more out of a community or a family, a friendship than not. And to fight against that doesn't make any sense. And so we see the benefits. I think, like I said, the church, tremendous benefits the more people are involved. Look at the next one, verse 10. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Boy, I tell you what, how true that is. You know, I won't go into great depth, but we reminded Brenda and I of this just this weekend traveling. And Brenda got some texts and some phone calls of somebody she knows needing help. And of course, we're in Ohio, and that's going back and forth, and I'm listening to this as it's going back and forth. And you know, it's like, well, hey, what about family? And, you know, don't have any. And what about this? And no, they said no. And what about this? And it's like, they're just not connected. So they're broke down in Oklahoma, not too far away, and they've got nobody to help them. And again, I know I'm prepping for this, and immediately I'm thinking, wow, man, if they were connected, if they developed that community that they ought to, and maybe their family's passed away and they don't have family. Hey, if they were in church, if they're in a local church, and people, I can't ever imagine, honestly, Brother Chafe, I can't imagine you breaking down somewhere, all the pastors and churches you could call. You know what I'm saying? So Brother Chafe, I don't know him, and he calls me, and he tells me about Brother Brown, who I do know, and I text Brother Brown. He goes, oh, no, it's one of our missionaries, man. Do whatever you can. I mean, we're there. You know what I'm saying? It's like, done. And I think about stuff like that, and I'm thinking, isn't that the family of God? I mean, seriously, I think, Brent, even our travels, I know that I could call anybody at Central Baptist Church. Most people, some of you at Central Baptist Church, okay? But we've never had to do that, but I know that, you know? And if I call John and he doesn't answer the phone, won't be unusual. But anyways, and then I start going down the list, you know, Andy and Matt and Brett, and okay, now I got to go to the staff, you know? You see what I'm saying? And then I'm like, well, there's JD, he'll come get me, you know. I mean, I'm literally convinced there's people, this long list of people that aren't biological family, that if you fall down, they'll be there. No, they'll be there. I think God knows what he's doing. No, I think God knows what he's doing. And so we see that he says, hey, and can I tell you, you don't know when you're going to fall. You don't know. And this thing, I can do it. Hey, not only do you change physically, life changes, and no one knows what's coming tomorrow. But I tell you, one of the best things you'll do now is developing a community. Community around your brothers and sisters in Christ. If your immediate family's not saved and won't be that community, and you begin to develop that, I'm telling you, one day you'll be thankful for that. In a day that you'll probably least expect it, and all of a sudden they're there. So I challenge you. God knew what he was doing when he did the church. Definitely did. Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. But then I like verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And I want to throw out right here something else along that line, help in a time of need. It's not just about you. And we started there, but it's not just about you. What he's saying, preacher? Hey, can I tell you, this is probably more for the introverts than the extroverts. I'll help you real quick. You're like, I don't need anybody. I have a book, be myself, and I'm fine. That sounds really good, but I tell you, the two great commandments are love God and love others. We are to be actively involved in other people's lives. And you may not be as extroverted as someone like me and out there and talking as much. It's not what we're talking about. Okay, you don't have to have all these conversations and everything. I'm not talking about, oh, I have to have all these conversations with people. What I'm saying is you want to be in the house of God, not just because of what you get out of it. No, did you catch that? It's not just about what you get out of it. We're living in a generation, it's all about consumerism. And that is, I go and I buy according to what you give me. What's my discount? What's my benefit? What's my reward? Now don't get me wrong, I like that. I have certain things I use because I get rewards. Okay, I like rewards, you know? And so you drive through now, you're like, you show them your little card, they scan it, you get enough of them points, those rewards, you get a free drink, praise Jesus. Okay, because I'm going there anyways. I'm going to tell you right now. Already going, so might as well get, you know. No, so I'm not against that. But I tell you, too often, that literally becomes our mentality as we judge everything by, well, what do I get out of it? Well, can I tell you? Sometimes it's not just what you get out of it, but you're going to get a lot. But you know why you ought to be a part of a family and a community and friendship? Is we have a responsibility to bear one another's burdens. You can't do that if you're not connected. And I'm telling you, it's a biblical command. It's not a suggestion, you know. And we got to be careful getting in that mindset of it's just about me. It's just what I get out of it. Number 3 there, he says, again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? Talk about warmth. And again, just an obvious, obvious thing there, the warmth of friendship. I always think, most of you know by now, Brent and I, you know all our stories, but you probably know our routines even by now, but Brenda goes to bed normally before I do. She'd be in bed at 6 if she could get away with it, but life is busy. Pajamas are on, and by 8 o'clock, you know, nothing said. She's gone. Nobody in the house asks, where's Brenda? We know. You know, once she goes to the back part of the house, she's never coming back. Okay? If you go back there, she'll be in pajamas on her bed reading, listening to some Christian music, a radio station, you know, things like that, and all that kind of fun stuff. But there's a benefit to that. When it's winter time, she's in bed first. She warms the bed up. You say, why is that a benefit to you? Well, she knows. Because when I get in bed, I roll all the way over there. And I'm like, hey, baby. She's like, go ahead, get warm. That's all I'm doing is stealing the heat. That's all I care about. About 30 seconds later, I'm like, done. Thank you very much. Roll back to my side. It's like, what? Warmth, man. Man, it's great. You know, so I understand that from a physical standpoint, you think warmth, but I think it's deeper than that. Can we be honest? I get the practical side of that with two. You can be warm when it's cold, but it's got that deeper emotional of just being around somebody, having somebody there. You know, the presence of somebody else brings warmth. And then the last one he mentions here, as we take a look at these, and he talks about threefold cord. And if we look at verse 12, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Man, I like that. Of course, let's just talk about strength in number. Strength in community, in family, in friendship. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're very much aware of this. God designed the body as one. If we went back to a study of that, he says in verse 12, for as the body is one, hath many members, and all the members of one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. You know, God designed the church exactly that way. And he's like, together we're stronger. Together we do so much more. Together there's warmth. Hey, just coming on a Wednesday night into the house of God, I hope you've been blessed. Man, the songs were good. Man, I appreciate the missionary letters. We got to hear some prayer requests of needs of brothers and sisters. Got to meet a friend and a missionary. Praise God. Get to read something in the scripture. Come on. It's just good. If you got here a little late, maybe on the way out, you get to say hi to somebody and catch up for a few minutes. I mean, it's a good, good thing. Can we be honest about that? And so you got the warmth, you've got the strength, and there's strength in numbers. I don't know if you're aware of this, but we're going against the flow, okay? And what we say in here, it's amen, preacher, and amen. It's not amen out there normally. You say, what do you say? We live a different lifestyle. Oh, it's a different world. Man, it's good to come into God's house and see other believers living the same way. One of the things that Brenda and I's travels that's neat is to see lighthouses and churches all across this land who believe exactly like we believe, who has a passion for souls, trying to build a work in their community, be a lighthouse. Man, it's encouraging to see that and to see what God is doing. And that God has provided these places all over the place. Why? Because he loves us and there's a benefit to it. And so I know for most of us, you're like, well, preacher, I got that. That's important. Why don't I remind you? It is important. As a matter of fact, even under this, threefold cord is not quickly broken. Talking about the strength. You know, one of my big things is we need to be unified. And I fight hard for unity at Central Baptist Church. Man, that's tough because you got different personalities. You got different thought processes. But can I tell you, we're unified under Jesus Christ. We're unified under honoring Jesus Christ. And when we keep that as a focus, that's what unifies us. We might be different in different areas and have different thoughts and different things, and that's okay. But we're going to come together under this book right here, Thus Saith the Word of God, and go forth for him. And man, when you do that, I'm telling you, it's strong. And Satan has no power over a church that's unified. But he works very hard to divide it. Very hard to divide it. I praise God we've not had to have church splits and all that kind of crazy stuff. I've watched churches go through that. And let me help you. It's not honoring. It's not honoring. It's not a good thing when the body of Christ can't find a way to get along because of pride and people in the church that want to get their way and don't want to follow and all that kind of stuff. That's not a good thing. And I'm glad we're not there. And we're not. We're just preaching through the book. And I praise the Lord for that. But I tell you, don't ever get there. You're not going to be on the right side. You can go through all the history. You're not. You want to find something to unify with and say, hey, there's a cause bigger than me. There's a cause bigger than me that I'm a part of. And I'm going to do my part. And so I look at that and I see the benefits to family and the benefits to friendships, the benefits of church. And all these God designed. And it leaves me with a couple thoughts tonight that I want to share with you. This classic area, I've loved these verses preached on them multiple times. But I'm going to give you some closing life applications here. Number one, I put this down. We should be pursuing community and relationships, seeing that God calls it good and beneficial. And I'd say this, who are you pursuing? What community are you pursuing? I have probably preached harder about the church in the last 5 years than ever because I see this universal movement away. I'll read articles and books and people with this philosophy of, I don't need church. And man, I'm glad if you're joining us online, man, I praise the Lord for that. Some of you are working and you're going to watch this later. Some of you are sick at home. Some of you are elderly at home. And so you're there. And man, it's kind of like the radio, what a great benefit. But can I tell you, if you're able-bodied, you need to be in the house of God. No, you need to be in the house of God. Okay, so that's a great tool. And that's a wonderful thing. But it does not replace that we pursue community with Jesus Christ and with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that means it'll be messy. He used the pig illustration. Yeah, I know nothing about that. But anyway, so I'm not on a farm. But I know this, it's messy, okay? People are messy and it can be hard sometimes and you got to put up with a lot. But the benefits outweigh the problems. Now, wait a minute. The benefits outweigh the problems. All the issues that you will face and as bad as you want to make it, I tell you, Christ died for this church and every church like it. He says, why? Because community matters. I say you fight for it and you pursue it. The fact of the matter is there ought to be people you're pursuing for friendship, to help, to bear, to lift up. That's what we're called to do as a church. And so when I look at it, pastors like this, my thought is we should be pursuing and you should be pursuing. Seriously, don't get caught up with the stuff of I don't need that. I don't need that. Folks, I'm telling you, you need more than you can realize. You'll need a church one day. If you get married as a Christian, you want a Christian pastor. You want a pastor over that. And you're going to die one day, and someone's going to preside over your funeral. I want to be a Christian pastor that knows Jesus is going to give the gospel. Amen? You know, people awkwardly have to come into church because they don't go anymore. And I meet with them, they're telling me, oh, yeah, I was saved, baptized, and what was that, honey, like 25 years ago? Well, where you guys go to church now? Well, they're using us because they don't have a church. You're out of the community, out of the fellowship, 25 years. You know how quick and easy that becomes, too, for some people? You remember through COVID? So we lost like 20% of the membership through COVID. You don't realize that because we've grown by more than that. But some of you are like, man, there's so many new people. Praise Jesus, amen? That's good. But you know what saddens me? I'm excited about that. But it saddens me is people that maybe are sitting at home that used to be a part of the community and not realize what they're missing. They've forgotten because they got so caught up in the world. And the problem is one day they're going to need that. No, they're going to need it. The fact of the matter is that's the way it is. And so you build community before the need comes, not during that time. Number two, I wrote this down. We should be pursuing unity, seeing that it allows us to do more for the Lord. I think when I look at this and God begins to talk to us about community and friendships and connections, the fact of the matter is, as we pursue that, I think it's important. And here's why. Community and friendships are based on agreement. Amos 3:3 says this, can two walk together except they agree? I don't believe we should just pursue any community, any friendship. I want you to stop and think about that. I don't think we should pursue just any. Matter of fact, if you take Amos 3:3, how can two walk together except they agree? Let me tell you how this fits. If you try to fit into a place that you don't fit, it don't work. Is that good English or what? Yeah. No, seriously. One of the problems today is people trying to fit in places that don't fit them. And let me explain that to you. How can two walk together except they agree? I put it as you will fit in best with those you agree with the most. So where you agree is where you're going to fit in. Now that fans out in a couple different directions I want to help you with real quick. Number one, we shouldn't fit into the world. No, wait a minute. We should not fit into the world. If you fit in the world, something's wrong. And if you fit in the world, you won't fit in the church. Oh, no, we're not done, so don't take that too far. The pastor told me to get out of church. That's not what I said. I said, you're not going to fit. No, it doesn't work that way. If your heart is more in the world and worldly things and carnal things, and that's the majority, And we all struggle with something, but I mean, no, that's your norm. There's a little bit of spirituality. But I'm going to tell you, you got to have a problem, because when you come to the house of God, you're not going to feel like you fit. When it ought to be the reverse. Every Christian ought to fit in the house of God. Why? Because you have a passion for souls. You have a passion for Jesus Christ. You have a passion for God and the things of God. And so you have love, and love covers a multitude of sins, and it teaches forgiveness and forbearance for one another. We learn to put up with one another. That's what love, that's what it does. But hey, that's what it does. We can't wait to get to church and around crazy, weird Christian people. Because you're weird, man. Hey, we can't wait, but we like that, you know, and we get around it. Why? Because we're pursuing the same thing, Jesus Christ. No, wait a minute. But if that's not your heart, then I can tell you, this is a pain. And you come in and it's all about you, what people say to you, and how many people meet you, and me. And then you even have difficulty with conversations. Why? Because they're not spiritual. And people aren't connected with you. And you're like, man, I don't feel like I fit in there, and people don't seem to like me. Folks, we love everybody. But if you want to have a close friendship, you're going to be in a spiritual church, you probably ought to pursue spirituality. That's the way it works. Folks, this is logical, but we see this here, and sometimes we get so messed up. I put community and friendship are based on agreement. If you don't agree, you're not going to fit. I've said over the years so often, you know, I'll watch parents come in and get so upset because their kid's not fitting in, and they rarely like my answer. Rarely like my answer. You say, why? Because it's obvious. We're a pretty large church. You're telling me your child doesn't fit in with anybody. You might want to back up a little bit. Why? I mean, why? I'm telling you, you're missing something there. When I was in the youth department, I noticed that the spiritual kids that wanted to serve God, and they would accept and be kind to everybody, but they may not be close friends with certain individuals, and find out later why. Because those individuals at school were carnal and worldly. I mean, cursing and cussing and ungodly. And would come into church with this facade like, we love Jesus. And it was a lie. It was a flat lie, and they knew it. So they didn't say anything. They weren't mean, but they didn't get close to them. Now, and the parents were like, oh, man, your kids are snobs and pride. No. They're just honest, and you're not. You're a little blind. You say, why? Oh, everybody's welcome in the church, folks. But you want to be part of that unity and close community. Can I tell you? Seek God. Now, none of us has arrived, so there's not like a perfection level. But I'm going to tell you the basis. Seek God. I have a desire for God and spiritual things. Everybody can accept that. No, you're going to fit. It's that simple. I have a love for God. I want to learn and grow. You're in. And we just heard Matt's message on Corbin. But if you're going to lie about that, it's basically the message. You can pretend you're not going to fit. You're like, I didn't fit into that church. Well, part of that may be true, but it's not because of the church. Oh, I get it. Again, I always have to explain this because people love exceptions. Sure, are there some cold, negative churches out there? Yes. But that's not the norm. Can I help you? That's not the body of Christ. That's not the way that works. But of course there are. But there's also very good churches all over the place. And folks, when you come into the house of God and you're like, I don't fit, but you claim to be a Christian, the first place you ought to look isn't there. I ought to go, oh, wait a minute. Is it me? Because I'm seeing a vibrant, passionate church that loves Jesus, loves souls, trying to reach people, loves preaching the word of God, and I'm having trouble fitting in. No. I start with myself saying, I need to get a stronger passion for the things of God. Now, the other thing about that is, now, close friendships, before we go too far, is that just takes time. Time, folks. Yeah, just because everybody's Christians, again, you're going to see eye to eye, and a lot of that's the same place in life and same things and all that kind of fun stuff. But I tell you what, you stay in, you get involved, you have heart for God, those things start to click naturally. They start to click naturally is what happens. I want you to understand something. God designed the church. He designed families, but we all know families don't always make it. Matter of fact, one of the things I wrote down was that I believe God provides a place of community and love for everybody in the house of God, even if we can't get it from our family. You know, scriptures out there talk about even at the end times. I was looking at Matthew, I think it was chapter 10, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Now, we know the context of that is those who are saved with those who are lost. We're with a family in Ohio from Jordan. They're going back to Jordan. He was Greek Orthodox. It surprised me. I thought they'd be Muslim, but they're actually Greek Orthodox. The whole family is. He got saved, though, about 3 years ago. Total change. I mean, him and his wife, I mean, on fire for God. The family knows they're saved. They witnessed to him, but now they're going back. Greek Orthodox, like Catholic, so they want the children to be baptized. So the question is going back is, how come you haven't baptized little ones? I was teasing him. I said, you're going to have to keep an eye on your little girl. She's like two or three. Grandparents are going to be dragging her to the side and sprinkling her. Make sure she's okay, you know, to fit into their religion. I mean, so wait, it works. So they laughed a little bit. But they're praying to say we would go back and be a witness. And they don't drink. And matter of fact, the question is, you don't drink? Why don't you drink? Everyone drinks. And they're like, well, no, we're Christians. And we don't. I mean, there's all these things now that have changed. And here's the problem. They love their family, but they're not going to fit. And they know it. And I'm not sure what's going to happen. I don't know that culture good enough. But I know there's a lot of families, a lot of places around there. You get saved, you're out. You're out. And by the way, that happens in America. You say, what do you mean? No. You get saved and you change, you start doing right, family starts backing away from you. Now, I'm going to tell you, as a Christian, I don't think we should abandon our family. We should always love them. But here's my experience. We're not the ones who abandon. I'm going to help you real quick. And I'll be honest, and even my family's listening, I don't abandon my family. I love my mom, my dad, my brother, sister. No, I love them. We may not see eye to eye on some things, but I'm not walking away going, I won't talk to you. I'll have nothing to do with you. I would never help you. No. We're Christians. But I'll tell you what I see so often in this world is those who aren't walking away. I want nothing to do with you. And if you're in that spot, I want you to know something. There's a God in heaven who loves you. And one of the reasons he provided the community called the church was for situations like that. When you're abandoned, you're forsaken, you're left. For whatever the reason is, Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You have a home. When you want to pursue Jesus and the things of God, I want you to know you have a home in the church. And that'll grow, and that'll grow. And as you get more passionate, more on fire for God, and you continue to get things right with God, I'm telling you, you will grow and get closer, and a community will be established. You'll find warmth and protection and strengths and more benefits than you could ever imagine. Why? Because God set it up. We won't always find it in the world. Matter of fact, even Jesus said, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Even when family walks away, Jesus never walks away. So I'm going to tell you something. I'm for the church. When I read this, I got church written all over it. You say, why? Because Christ died for the church. Amen. And everything written there, we see in the body. And this may be just I didn't need that, Pastor. But I'm going to tell you something. I think we all need it, because as the end times get worse and worse, we ought to be busy about the Father's business together. And I tell you what, you want to be solidifying and cultivating a relationship and friendships inside of the house of God to the best of your ability. Why? Because we need one another. We need one another. That's the way God designed it. Well, amen. Hope it's a blessing to you. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Good book. We're learning a lot from it. And I want to continue to grow from it. Again, Sunday is revival time. We'll have children's ministries as well. Hope you'll be a part of that. Hope you'll be even now inviting someone for Easter Sunday. And we're looking forward to that. God will do great work. And we need other people to come in and find Jesus. People who've been abandoned by this world and their family and friends and all kinds of situations where they can find the love of Christ here. And we want to be busy about it. So join me in a word of prayer. Lord, we come to you now. We thank you for the midweek service. And Lord, we thank you for our missionaries, Brother Andy and Ms. Summer. Lord, pray that you bless them, strengthen them, and the calling you've given them, Lord. And they've gone all in by faith, Lord. What a great testimony. Lord, and what a great challenge to us, Lord, is they felt your calling and they prayed about it and they worked on it for several years. And they realized, Lord, this is what you want them to do. And they're going to spend their time, Lord, helping people set up equipment, Lord, and to cast the gospel, Lord, and not for secular means, but to cast the gospel around the world. Lord, bless them. Bless them in a great way, Lord. Use them. Lord, I pray when they get to heaven, Lord, they get to meet not just hundreds, but thousands and even millions of people who come to know you because of a ministry like this, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that you bless them, Lord. I pray that you be at Central Baptist Church, Lord, as we continue to work together and grow together, Lord, in unity, that you'd use us, Lord, strengthen our faith, Lord, to go forth and do a work for you as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. Hi, I'm Pastor John Waterloo. Thank you so much for joining us today and being a part of the service. I hope one day you can connect with us here in our church service as well. That'd be such a great blessing. We'd also like to let you know about just some other resources we have. You can jump on our Facebook page or our website, wherever you'd like, and find out about our ministries. But again, we'd love to have you join with us one day. Thank you so much for being in our services, and may the Lord bless you.